Hello and welcome. I know this is not Tuesday night and I'm not playing any music, but if you've kind of been following me, I've done a few of these interviews. And if you dig back, I've done interviews with the likes of LSD, the legend is Ron Wells, Slipmat, brain's totally gone. There's definitely a good few selection are out there. And the idea behind this was really, I've got to be honest, was a little bit selfish, because it was for me about kind of digging deep into these stories of what happened in that era. You know, 90 to kind of 95 is the kind of main focus. And it was all about kind of finding out all these stories. As we all know, magazines never covered it. There was no internet. And unless you knew the DJ, half the time you didn't even know what the DJs looked like. So this was an opportunity really to kind of speak to these guys and dig that little bit deeper. So this is hopefully going to be a little bit more of a regular slot on Thursday. I might not do every Thursday, but I have got a guest lined up for next week, which I'll let you know about early next week. But it gives me great pleasure to announce for part two. Now, hopefully some of you guys, or most of you have listened to part one with the legend that is DJ Fantasy. Such a rich kind of story in history, started way, way back. The real in-depth story is in his book, Three Generations Deep, which I've read, would highly recommend if you have not already read it. Told so well, some amazing stories, and it really covers that era really well. For those of you who follow me, I always kind of struggled a little bit with some of these stories not quite being told. That era was kind of skipped over a little bit. So, you know, Fantasy, and big up to Dave Jenkins as well, who co-wrote the book with him. So we did part one with Fantasy, and we kind of dug in nice and deep, and we definitely needed a part two. So with that introduction done, I'm going to bring in the man, the legend, it's DJ Fantasy. Yes, mate. How you doing?
This is all very clever, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, I'm actually going to change the background. Yeah, it's all a bit snazzy, isn't it? I feel like it's like kind of ITV.
Do you know what? Yeah, it is a bit ITV. Hey, listen, do you know what the thing is, right? I know a lot of your listeners will be on Bandcamp. And it was you, actually, you and Brent, I spoke to about Bandcamp, right? While you're doing the intros, I was just about to send you an email, and then I've just noticed that Bandcamp have actually got back to me and freed up the name for me, because remember I said to you I couldn't get my name. So
yeah.
Bandcamp family, you know what? Give me a few days. I've got some specials for you. Yeah, I found some stuff in the archive. So I now have djfantasy.bandcamp.com. I'm literally, while you were doing the intro, I was like, they're just tapping away, putting it together. So wicked. It's all
sorted. Well, that is nice. Well, that was definitely one of the things that we were going to ask, because it's been a good few months since we last spoke. And I know you, Steve, you are not a man to sit still. Whether there is a lockdown or not, you will have your fingers in probably more pies than you had now that you're not flying around all around the world. So we'll definitely kind of cover everything you've been up to while you've been in lockdown, that's for sure.
Wicked. Yes, I have
so,
to keep it moving.
Yes, indeed, mate, indeed. So where did we end off? We ended off probably somewhere around sort of like kind of 92, 93. As I say, like, we're going to get a few questions from a few of the listeners. So if you do have a question, I've got this really snazzy way. Let's find this. Look, let's bring this in. Look at that.
Well, funny enough, I've got something to tell you about Ron, Mr. Jack Smooth, the legend. I hope you don't. Right, Ron, you've got about 5 minutes to text me not to say nothing, but I am going to say something. So I hope you've got credit over there. Do you know what I mean? But
Do you know what, Steve? Just before you do that, he did actually put up a question on social saying, ask him about his times at 14B Hillingdon Hill. So Ron's actually invited you in to give these stories.
Okay, well, you know what, right? First of all, do you know what? 14B was like, it was unique, man. I mean, I think I mentioned it in the book. I said about Lorraine, Ron's wife, she was a legend, because like the way she just sort of embraced us, and we used to, like, his house was like a youth club. Do you know what I mean? Everyone was there. Carl Cox, Alex Hazard, me, Gemini, mate, there was loads more. They're the ones at Loft Groover. There was loads of us that we used to be there all the time. And it was a special place, man. And I was actually quite sad when he sold it, to be honest with you, because, you know, and every time I drive past it, my missus goes, "Oh, babe, you said that about 100 times." I go, "See that building there?" "Yeah." No, that one." She goes, "Yeah, you've told me 100 times." I went, no, but that one there, that was where the magic happened. You know what I mean? So,
Has he got a blue plaque outside there with Ron's name?
Do you know what? It should have a blue plaque out there. I might have to wait, do you know the funny thing is? Boris Johnson is actually the MP for that area, Uxbridge. So we should all campaign to Boris to get, like, Ron Wells 14B put on the wall. That would be, imagine that. That would be wicked. You know what I mean?
I'd love that.
West London Massive. Big up, Russell. I just see, like, someone shouting West London Massive. I can see all these comments here as well. I don't want to take over your show. Sorry, man.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I watched back the first interview, and literally when we first started the show, I like the first minute, I thought you were interviewing me. I was like, you just took in and just landed straight on your feet.
I have this real habit of doing that. So sorry about it. But anyway, yes, go ahead.
So look, this kind of comes back to a question from Tristan on Facebook earlier, who said, "Rough Beats is an early favourite of mine. Remember hearing it at Stern's for the first time. I believe it was one of the first few where Fantasy worked with Ron. So I'd love to know more about how it came to be." Now, I'm pretty sure we did dig pretty deep. Maybe we did this in part one. My memory's terrible. Yeah. But we'll cover it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't one of the first that we worked with Ron. That was probably like about the sixth or something like that. But yeah, it was. It's funny that you mentioned that song "Rough Beats," which I made with Gemini, because I also have some information to give you about Gemini as well. This is like exclusive content for Jay Cunning. We are the hardcore since 1991. You know what I mean? This is some exclusive stuff. But you know, I'm just going to get straight to it. I'm not going to draw it out. Basically, Ron hasn't texted me, right? So that must mean it's okay. But basically, Ron and I was having a chat with yourself and Brent Aquasky from Vinyl Fanatics. I was having a chat with, I've completed my album, my recent album, and I've been trying to learn some loads of new things during this lockdown. I've got loads of like little bits and bobs for things moving along. And one of the things I've been doing is like mastering all my old music. And, I've got to say, honestly, thank you so much to all of you lot out there that supported the Atmosphere release, the repress, and also the Liquid Aliens repress, because do you know what? Like, it was mad. I mean, Brent hit me up saying that the website had gone down, and but we'd sold out within 7 minutes or something like that. And, that was like a very humbling thing that people were so, you know, they just supported something that I made, in 1993. So I was thinking 25, that's 27 years ago. So off of that, obviously, I've been talking with Brent, I've been talking to yourself and a few other people, talking to Ron about, you know, getting like some of the old stuff that I made redone. And there was a question put out, like, what do you want to see? And there was a few interesting things on there, so I thought, brilliant. So we're in the process of getting all that sorted. But the beautiful thing is, I think it's 10, it might be 12. I found like 10 or 12 unreleased bits that have never been released before. And when I've played them to Aquasky, he's gone mental. He's gone, "Oh, what's this? And I'm like, "I think it's me and Gemini." And I play it to Gemini and he's like, "No." And I'm like, "Oh, maybe it's Liquid Aliens." And I'm like, "No, it's not Liquid Aliens," because I know I only made four or five things with Linford. And big up Linford, who was my partner in Liquid Aliens. So anyway, with all of this that's been going on, conversations have been going on. And what we're going to do is we're in the process of re-releasing, basically first time releasing the old stuff. So that was made back in the day. And then you could really hear the influence from 14B when we used to be in the studio, you know, that kind of vibe that we used to have in there. You can really hear that. And then basically I hit up Jack Smooth and I was like, "Ron, you know what? what are you saying? I think, I don't know if it was you or Brent, somebody said to me, it'd be wicked if you got back in the studio. I think I asked you a question. Is there anyone now making old stuff? And you said, yeah. And you named all these guys. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I said, you said something, I think it was you, said, it'd be wicked if you and Jack Smooth did a track, got back in the studio. And I thought about it and I hit up Ron and I was like, look, what are you saying, man? Let's work on a little project. Like, and then Ron was, obviously Ron, if he's in it, he's on it. And he's basically messaging me. Well, we're on the phone. He's going, listen, I've got the original files for this, the original files for that. I'm like, because, you know, DJ Unite was basically, even though Seduction has, obviously he'd done it with me, but it was like basically in the studio with me and Ron and Seduction, obviously the three of us, but Ron was there. So, you know, like, when I was chatting to Ron, he's got all of that stuff. He's got all of the files and everything. He's got all the equipment and everything. And I was just like, do you know what? It'd be nice to kind of redo some of this stuff. Do you know what I mean? And so we got chatting. So basically, world exclusive here, Ron and I are basically going back in to make some original stuff from back then. You know what I mean?
So mate, really, that is awesome news.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it because the one thing that Ron and I used to do in the studio, man, we used to giggle like a couple of, honestly, a couple of kids. You know those Haribo kids? That was us. Like, we were just, you know, and it was anything goes, anything went. And, you know, and it's like funny because I have some other news for you as well. I was talking to Gemini the other day and basically because I was trying to check about some of the tracks that we made back in the day and some that I thought I made of him, but he said no, that was you on your own and that. I used to smoke a lot back then, as Ron would tell you. Ron, like, again, big up Lorraine, because we used to stink her house out, man, and like she never used to moan. But the thing is chatting with Gemini, and he's been on to me for months about getting in the studio, not for months, about 2 years, let's get in the studio. But he wants to make upfront drum and bass. And like I tried to say to him that making upfront drum and bass now, it's almost like a business card. You're doing it to perform at shows. Do you see what I'm saying? And to play at shows, it's not, you know, that's how I view it at the moment. Do you know what I mean? And so I kind of felt that I didn't really have the time to do that. But then I was talking to him the other day and I said, look, you know, I've been talking to Ron. Me and Ron are going back in and we're going to do some bits. And he was like, no way. Are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And then he said, I just said to him, look, do you fancy just getting in and we just like have a bit of fun? And he was just on it, you know what I mean? So what's happening is Gemini and I, me and Gemini, are basically going back in to do some stuff as well. So when I was talking to Simon, Gemini, he was like proper excited, going, oh, my God, this is going to be mad. Da, 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 da. And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, bruv, remember when we used to go to Ron's? What did we do? We just had a laugh and we had fun, right? And he went, yeah, guys, that's what I want. I don't want, like, to be under any pressure. Oh, we have to do this and we have to do that. We're just going to have fun and do some tunes and hopefully everyone likes. If they don't, no worries. Cool. We'll have fun doing it. Do you know what I mean? But hopefully that comes across in the music. So basically, yeah, we're actually next Monday we're in the studio, me and Gemini. So,
mate, do you know what? That's kind of preempted one of the questions because one of the, I think it was, I've told you, someone said, what's happening with Gemini? What's going on? So, mate, two world exclusives. I feel like I should have had some kind of like, yeah, world exclusive.
And you've got this ITV setup and you're just like lacking on the on the big production. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, it's all good. It doesn't matter. We keep it real. Do you know what I mean? But, you know,
hey, look, I can do that. I can do this. How about that? There you go. I can do some of that. I can do some of that. There you go. So I've got a few little tricks, but not many. But mate, that's wicked news. Because, and I think, you know what, that ethos of just kind of going back and having fun. There's no kind of agenda. There's no kind of box that you've got to tick. There's nothing that, you know, you have to fulfill the expectations. Yeah. You know, you can just go in and just have a little bit of fun. And that's got to be one of the best environments to create, right?
Yeah, definitely, man. Have I lost you? Have you gone? You've gone all frozen, or is it me? No, I've got. I'm not frozen. Anyway, guys, Jay will be back with us in a minute because he's obviously
okay.
All frozen. You oh, you're back! Oh, he's back.
Can you hear me? Hi.
I can now. Yeah. Don't worry. I held the show while you were gone. Don't worry, bro.
But, no, you just carry on, mate. You just carry on. I'm just gonna go and have a nap.
Yeah, no, no. Do you know what it is? I was reading some of the messages here, but you know, the thing is what kind of prompted me to kind of think about doing this was obviously from chatting with you guys, but it was the kind of the way that the community, the people that are supporting, and it's not just me, the way they support all of the releases. You know, I've spoken to Ron about this. I've spoken to Brent about it. And I just thought, do you know what it is? I actually felt excited when I got off the phone to Ron and like about, rah, we're actually going to make some old, you know what I mean? Some old stuff. Like, you know, that's mental. You know, I never would, you'd asked me in the last interview, I'd have been like, no. I actually did say I always look forward. And don't get me wrong, I'm still looking forward. But what I'm trying to do is, like, I kind of, we're in lockdown, man. You know, we'll say lockdown. There ain't no gigs going on. There ain't nothing. So what I want to do is kind of, we're not under that pressure to write a tune that we can play at the weekend to get that reaction, to get it out for the public and that.
Yeah.
Now I can probably be a bit more free. And
yeah,
I've already been gathering samples. You know what I mean? We're going back. It's going to be samples. It's going to be, I'm probably going to grab 40 tunes and put them all together. Like,
yeah, well, look, like I said to you, we spoke about on the phone, and I've got to big up Samantha on this. She gave me a great list of like new producers that are working at the moment, and a lot of these guys. And I said to you that one of the number one guys for me is Pete Cannon, and you know, even if you look at his studio, he's doing it. It's proper an old school Amiga. It's all the Atari Akai samplers. Like, it's proper old school, but he is getting that kind of, that it's got that authentic sound. The production's a little bit more up to date, but it's still capturing that vibe of it was made. Because people have tried to make that stuff from that era, and it's just too polished, it's too finished, it goes too much the other way. So, you know, it's wicked to hear that, you know, not only are you going to get back in the studio with Gemini, but also Ron. So I know that there's a lot of big vinyl fans that listen. It's probably a little bit too early, but what's your initial thoughts about how you're going to get this out there? Digital or digital and vinyl?
No, we will do digital and vinyl. We'll do both. But, I've been talking to Brent Aquasky, Vinyl Fanatics. Sorry, I keep calling him Brent. But I've been talking to Brent Vinyl Fanatics about what we're going to do, because obviously he done such a terrific job with and the atmosphere and the Liquid Aliens. And do you know what I've got to say about him? He's the way he kind of like looks after the basic people that buy from him. Like, I don't think I've remember anyone that has thought so deeply about making sure that the community are looked after. And I'm not saying that there isn't other people. I can only talk about my experiences. I'm sure there is other people that do a terrific job. But what he does is, like, we got a load of warped vinyl. They were he calls them dished. To me, they're warped, yeah?
Yeah.
And there was, like, about 30. And he's like, oh, I'm not sending them out. And I'm like, let me have a look. I mean, honestly, it was, listen, if you was back in the day, you would have just played that, and it would have probably bounced every time, but you would have just been like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? He was just sending it back. No, I've got to send it back. That delayed the project and that. So his detail, and also as well, when we redone the Liquid Wax logo, there was this little thing, I didn't even see it. And he was like, can you see it? And I'm like, no. And but anyway, he was, you know, honestly, everything is done to perfection. So the thing is I will be doing this via Vinyl Fanatics, because I know whatever we do, it will be done to the best of our ability. And then I know that when I get Vinyl Fanatics to do their bit, that ultimately the people that basically grab this project are going to be happy, because they're going to know that we've done the best that we can. And then that the people like Vinyl Fanatics have done the best they can.
The thing is that, you know, it's not a big community of people that are buying records like it was, you know, back in the day where you were selling 5, 10, 15, however many thousands. It's a small community, but it's a very passionate community. And like you say, like, I've got a lot of time for Brent, because he looks after those people and he does a good job, you know. Yeah, go on.
One of the things I said to Brent the other day, I think this community needs to grow, and I want to try and do my bit to help it. So, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of stories that from this era that have not been told. You know, like, there's a lot of there's, you know, it just seems to be that you've got the acid house era when it all kicked off, and then you had like literally jungle. And what about that bit in the middle? Because that bit in the middle is the bit that kind of shaped all the different genres that spread out. And it's a shame, really, to sort of to see that this whole thing kind of missed out. You know, like, I know your show is called We Are Hardcore. I mean, and that was not my favorite word, hardcore. Do you know what I mean? Because in my head, I kind of put, don't get me wrong, I love Dougal and that, but I kind of put hardcore as what Dougal and them lot done. This era to me was rave. And then after this era, what you would call hardcore, because before this, there was Joey Beltram was doing the Euro sound. Do you know what I mean? Then it was rave, which is all the big anthems, you know what I mean? And then after that, it kind of become hardcore and then jungle techno. And then it kind of sort of went off in its own way. Do you know what I mean?
Separate. Yeah. Do you know what? For me, basically, like, me and my mates always called it hardcore. Like, it was always like from 91, 92, 93, 94. And it was kind of 94 where hardcore, actually, for me, it changed. It's when that 4/4 kit came in. And that we always used to call happy hardcore because it kind of went, you know, more, yeah, it was more 4/4 based. I kind of like lost interest really. That's when I went more kind of down the jungle route. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, and it always got kind of referred back to as kind of old school. But for me, like hardcore, that was like, you know, that was the 91 to 93. That was that kind of era of music. But listen, I just wanted to rewind a little bit back to like the kind of the atmosphere tune, because obviously massive tune. How did that all come about with Brent and kind of deciding to get that repress and get back out there?
What's that with atmosphere?
Yeah.
I said it on the last interview that MC Spider hit me up and was like, oh, do you know it? Because Aquasky, you know, he wants to get in contact with you. He's a really good guy. And obviously I know Spider from time, and Spider is one of my good mates. And so obviously if Spider's calling me, telling me he's cool, then, you know, I have to obviously go and speak to him. And, you know, at that time I was in the middle of writing the book, and also I was in the middle of recording an album. So the last thing I wanted to do was confuse people by going, I've got this coming out. So once the album was done, then me and Brent spoke and basically decided to do Atmosphere and Liquid Aliens. I contacted Linford, who I'd done Liquid Aliens with. I hadn't spoken to him for like years, and he was absolutely like buzzing that this project was coming off the ground. You know what I mean? So yeah, so that was kind of how that started. But you know, I was like, not, you know, I know people were like were doing this and everything, and they were on it, but I was kind of more, you know, don't forget, with everything that we've got going on with SAS, and like with all the touring, like I was hardly ever in the studio. Like we'd be literally making ideas on the road when we get to the hotel, and then like coming back to the studio and finishing them. Do you know what I mean? And you've got to try and have a work life balance as well. Do you know what I mean? But that's why I'm saying, like with Brent, he just took once we agreed and we got everything remastered, he just sort of took it on. Do you know what I mean? And absolutely smashed it.
Yeah. So Martin Moverley, a long-time listener, first-time caller, says, what has Fantasy and Brent got up their sleeves for future/past releases?
Well, if I played stuff, you wouldn't be able to hear it now, would you?
I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Let's see. I'm going to play you this one thing, right? When I presented to Brent, he absolutely lost his shit. Where is it? Mate, how long it took me to go through these bloody DATs. You know, thing is, I got all the DATs mastered, and like I kind of thought to myself, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And you know, you have to kind of look at the positives of something like this bloody like virus. And I just obviously that was it. No time on the road. So I had every opportunity to basically go in the studio and sit and edit all this stuff. And basically when I say edit it, you've got like a whole 2-hour DAT. You've got to go in and chop each tune out. And then you've got to, what's this called? Oh mate, I'm so shit with names. Like, honestly, but I honestly, I'd have to phone. Like, I've even called Brent. Have you heard this before? And I've even sent some tunes to Brent to send to, he's got a couple of ears he uses, to say, has this ever been released? Because I genuinely, I kind of remember, as I say, you know, I used to smoke a lot back then, and we it wasn't, I never really thought of the whole thing as a business. It was just fun. Do you know what I mean? We used to have a lot of fun. But I'm trying to look for this this folder. I don't even know if you'll be able to let's see.
Yeah.
No, can't find that. Where is it? Anyway, sorry, I will find it in a sec. But yeah, basically.
Question for YouTube.
Say that again.
I was just saying, like, if anyone wants to get a question, just stick it in the comments, and we can stick it up on there. Talking about DATs, I know you're trying to show a DAT that just said T3 on it, Terminator 3. Never heard it since. I don't know what he's done with it. He was playing it in the background, so I don't know. I don't recall any set where anyone had played it on dub plate.
Who's that, Goldie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. The funny thing, you see that T3, I was in Canada with him in 92, and he bloody played that, mate. It was the most mentalist shit. He never released it. I don't know why. It was the most mentalist shit. You know that bit where it goes, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. The whole tune was like that, just going up and down.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the bloody hell? It was amazing. I found the folder now. Right. I don't know what it's called. So you have to forgive me. I've got, honestly, there's like 25 tunes in here. Right. There's actually 25 tunes in here that we're checking if they've been released or not. so, yeah. Where is it? Here we go. I don't know if you can hear this. Can you hear this? Can you hear this?
Yeah.
I'm not going to play it all. Nice. I have no clue what this is.
Yeah.
It's just got Johnny the Fox. Can you hear it all right?
Yeah, I can hear it. Yeah, it's, mate, that sounds tough as hell.
I'm going to rap over it so no one boots it.
There you go. We'll get some reactions up there. Nico likes it. Jim likes it. G-Mass is feeling it. Dave Howe. Adair, can you send out to Charlie? Big up yourself, Charlie. That's three exclusives now we've got. Three world exclusives on the show.
I remember, right? I remember this was made at Ron's studio, because I remember saying to Ron, see that riff? Duh, 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 duh. I remember going, can I make it go that way, that way, that way? And, you know, like go, duh, 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 duh. And he was like, yeah, yeah, cool. And just pushed the button. I was like, oh, you're amazing, Ron. You're amazing. But, yeah, that's one thing. There's loads of stuff in here, man. There's, like, there's just loads. Do you know what I mean? But as I say, I'm getting...
A big up to Mike Badger. Big up yourself, mate. He's doing Blueskin Badger Records. So he's re-releasing all the Parliament Hill stuff, working with Robert Omni Trio, Psycho Mac, and all those guys. So, you know, these guys are doing, again, like Brent, they're doing a phenomenal job of kind of remastering and bringing new stuff back into the fold, quality vinyl releases. So big up yourself, Mike, and all the crew.
Yeah, wicked. Big up, mate. Right, listen, do you know what I want to do? Like, I want to give some shouts to some of these people here, man, because, like, there's loads
of... Yeah.
Now, let's start from the top. All right, big up, Ron. Of course, big up, Ron. Barry, big up, Barry. Mannix, Mac, Russell, Paul Owen, John Driver, Mark Ballard, Samantha, Alan, Octavio from Seville, what are you saying? Big shout to Sean, Jonathan Fleming. Is that Jonathan Fleming? The guy that wrote that book years ago. Do you remember that book? What kind of house party is this anyway?
No.
No? Okay. There's a book.
I've read a lot of Harry Potter books.
No. There is a book called What Kind of House Party Is This Anyway? It's like It's just basically like pics. I mean, honestly, the picture on there of me is the worst ever. We took it in a pub, and I remember as he was chatting, he was recording. He was just setting up these beer glasses like this, and you know, positioning them all and this shit. And I don't even drink. I don't even drink beer. You know what I mean? I don't drink alcohol. And then it just proper made me look like I was a proper pisshead. You know what I mean? But yeah, big up, Jonathan. I don't know if that's you, but if it's you, big up. I still got the book, man. It's a very rare book now, by the way. And it's got like Carl Cox and Sasha and SS and loads of people in there. Do you know what I mean? Big up, Jose, Shavilla Silva. Sorry, my reading's terrible. Big up, Damien. Big up, Chris. Big up, Dave. God, there's loads of comments, man. Big love. Fantasy Summertime, what a set. I got a story about that. I don't know if I told you this, but the traffic was really bad getting in there, and I was 40 minutes late for my set. And I was more than 40 minutes. Yeah, I was 40 minutes late for my set, that's right. And then I ended up playing for about 20 minutes. So if you listen on the tape, there's only about 20 minutes of my set. And I remember SS come up to me, and he's like, you know, obviously SS being SS was there before the doors even opened. You know what I mean? He never like left it on the edge. He was there. So he turned up and he was like, yeah, man, come on, like, I'm on. I said, brother, I was like 40 minutes late. Give me like 10 minutes. What's the matter? He's like, oh, no, you know what? I was like, all right, cool, whatever. I just took it up. He was on for 2 hours, you know. Everyone was asleep on the dance floor, bro. No, sorry, Libra. I'm only joking. Sorry, SS. I love Libra. He's my boy. No, but yeah, but the thing is, that was one of my if I ever get asked, what's your favorite all time rave? That was one of them. Because I remember when I got up on the stage, and I always remember Robbie D had one glove. He never had the other. I was like, bro, where's your other glove, man? He didn't answer me. I'm still looking for that glove. But anyway, so basically, I just remember seeing a sea of people and just be like, wow, that's mad.
You know that's got to be quite, because obviously up until like those kind of events, it was like the original kind of warehouse, field raves from back in the day. And then, you know, seeing something like that, you know, you capture that now with like, what's that big event in Belgium, the Rampage?
Rampage. Oh, mate, that's amazing. Rampage is like, wow. I tell you what, Mackie turned around to me, and every time we did an interview, it's funny because it relates to what you're just saying. Every time we did an interview, they'd go, what's your favourite event you've ever played at? And I'd go, oh, Fantasia in Bournemouth. Like, and they probably, you know, people all around the world are like, what's that? You know what I mean? But Mackie used to go Rampage. And I just was like, I said to him one day, why do you always say Rampage? And he went, one day you'll find out. So if you watch the actual 2017 video, you actually see me look at Mackie and I go, and that's me letting him know, I now know what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, funny man.
All right, I've got a question from on Facebook. He said, what was your most memorable set from 1992? I suppose Fantasia.
Was that Fantasia in Bournemouth in 92?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think maybe even like the Coventry Eclipse. Did you hear about the Coventry Eclipse the other day?
No. What happened?
Apparently it's a grow farm now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was an article, someone sent a link to the article, and so I just replied saying that must have grown from something I dropped there 20 odd 30 years ago, you know what I mean? It must have just all that time, it's just sat in the corner and just grown. But yeah, apparently it's, I don't know, listen, it might be not a real story, but it might not, you know. I want to put, can you put a disclaimer at the bottom of the screen? What's this? I went to a squat party. Who's G-Mast? I went to a squat party at Royal Garden. They weren't at my place. Yeah, that's jokes. That was, we made a record called Royal Gardens, which actually I had remastered the other day. That was like that was the first Fantasy and Gemini record ever. Do I remember Pete Waterman from the Eclipse? Yes, I do. And you know what? I was trying to get hold of Pete Waterman for my album because, you know, I did a remix of Pig Bag, you know that. So when I met Pete Waterman at that TV show, he gave me his number and he said, like, come and see me in the week at PWL. And I remember walking in there and, like, on the wall was like Kylie Minogue, Jason Donovan, Salt and is it Salt and Pepper? No, Mel and Kim. Sorry, not Salt and Pepper. Mel and Kim and all these people. And I remember just sitting there going, what the bloody hell am I doing here? You know what I mean? And it was a bit surreal. And then he went to me, yeah, I want you to remix this record. Pig Bag. Now me being so rave, yeah, rave. Yeah, what I did was I basically sampled the Spectrum sound. You know that? You know that Spectrum sound, yeah?
Yeah.
I sampled that and I played the Pig Bag riff with it. And I was well pleased with myself. I was like, yeah, man, I fucking did it. You know what I mean? And then I went to see Carl Cox after and he's like, you missed a trick here. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, why didn't you just use the original sound? And I just kind of thought to myself, would everyone think it was a bit cheesy? That's what it was in my head was, would it be a bit cheesy if I did that, use the original sound? And, you know, I look back, I think about it now, and if I was looking at myself now, I'd probably slap myself in the head and go, just use the bloody original sound. You know what I mean? I was trying to keep it too real, like, you know, and that's why I kind of used that riff. But, yeah, Pete Waterman, do you know what? What an absolute legend, an absolute gentleman, and, you know, it's mad. It's a man. He's such a lovely fellow. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He gives me so much respect. Do you know what I mean?
Well, look, I'm going to give a shout out to Travis because he actually asked pretty much exactly the same question and said, do you remember them and do you have any funny stories? And you've done it. So big up. Okay. Got a question from Jim Flux. He says, what about your memories of Stearns? You remember Stearns?
Oh, my God. Stearns was amazing. You know, the thing is with Stearns, right, I think it was one of them places. Do you ever get that thing where something was so good and you don't realize how good it was until it's gone? You know, I used to, like, I didn't realize, like, I actually had people tell me years later, promoters, that they booked me because I was playing at Stearns. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
I thought you booked me because I was wicked. But no, they booked me because I was playing at Stearns. So the thing is, basically, you just don't realize, but like, what a club like that can put onto a whole scene. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I've got a big up Mensa, God rest his soul. He was an absolute legend and he was always fun to be around. And do you know what? I actually tried years later to get that venue to do an event and they weren't having none of it.
No, I think it's like a hotel now. I think one of the guys, there's a guy called James Henderson. I'll give a big shout out, James. He runs a Stearns Revival Facebook page and he shares all the stories, loads of pictures and stuff. And big up to him is him and another guy who do events as well. They do the reunions, Stearns reunions. So when the parties start back up again, mate, it'd be great to see you down there. Because Stearns was a real special one for me. That was the first rave I ever went to, which I think was, I always say October 91, but it was definitely sometime in 91. And I, up to that point, I'd heard all the tunes. You know, you listen to pirate radio, you're buying some tape bags, but that's your only experience of it through your crappy little JVC stereo. And maybe a mate had like a, you know, a big bass bin in his back of his car. But when you actually walk down, I'm actually getting goosebumps now, as you walk down those stairs and those lasers are licking all over the place, the sweat's dripping on your face and you just get to that bottom and it's just like, right.
It was mental.
I thought I got it now. Now yeah. I probably get it.
Yeah, yeah. It was a special time, you know what I mean? And it's such a sad thing that the kids coming through and finding the music these days, they don't really have that kind of, you know, they won't be able to have that experience. I mean, don't get me wrong, they've got wicked things like these festivals that are happening in the daytime. And that's an amazing thing. I love them festivals. You know, obviously, I love to be home by 11 o'clock with a kebab, you know what I mean? But the thing
is, it's 10 o'clock now.
Talking about that, listen, anyone who's locked in, Skibbity has got a social distance event this week. Yeah, it's this Sunday. There's only a few tables left. And, if you want to get down there, the tickets are available from Def Tickets. There's not many tables left. But, it's mad how you have to kind of try and work with the situation you're in right now. Do you know what I mean? And, like, you know, we want to be able to, like, get out, play music and everything like that. But you just kind of have to work with the situation it is right now.
You know what, we were talking a little bit before we went live, and it is inspiring to see how, like, you know, some people are, you know, doing like in face of all these kind of lockdowns and restrictions that we've got, you know, not like Dizzy Rascal's been doing tours. He's been doing the car park tours where everyone gets a little bit of a space outside of the car. You know, I know Rain Dance is doing a thing. I think it's next weekend, next Saturday.
Are they?
Again, it's all like, I think they've joined up with someone else. They're doing it at the Cause somewhere. Skibber obviously did it as well. So it's nice to kind of see all these guys still trying to do it, you know, because it ain't the same, but that shouldn't stop people trying. Oh, I get really inspired by that, you know, because it's like, well, look, what are we going to do? You're going to sit at home for like months on end, just moping into your warm pint of beer, or you're going to get out and do something about it?
Exactly. You just got to kind of get on with it. Hold on, I'm just going to put it on live now. Sorry, I just meant to share this to my page, but when the Bandcamp thing come along, I was so excited because I've been waiting for like weeks to get it sorted. And please go over there and follow, because you know what? I found like a few copies of tracks, original presses, and they're crisp copies as well. They haven't been touched, you know what I mean? So I want to basically put them up there and everything like that. So yeah, so I actually forgot to actually share the stream, do you know what I mean? What,
don't worry, I've got it here, mate. I'll stick it back up there. So talk to me about what your plan is for Bandcamp. Are you going to put some of your older stuff there, exclusive unreleased stuff? What's your thought process for that?
Yeah, I'm going to, to be honest, I don't think it'll be the new stuff. I think it'll just be the older stuff, because I already have the outlets for the new stuff. And I think it'll probably be the older stuff. I don't know. Do you know what? I, to be honest, I never really thought about Bandcamp until you guys were kind of telling me, oh, you should get Bandcamp, you know what I mean? And then I kind of thought, oh, maybe I should. So that was when I kind of thought, okay, maybe I should, you know what I mean? So so that will be the plan to do the old stuff, do you know what I mean? So I was gonna say, if there's anything anybody like thinks that they want on there, you know, please, I don't know too much about it, do you know what I mean? Just let me know and I'll see if I can sort it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, I know the back catalogue is definitely going to be more than welcome, you know, especially with that stuff from like kind of 91 to 93. Most of it for many years was just like shitty 128K rips off YouTube. So to actually get it from that properly mastered, you know, it's an absolute dream. So I'm pretty sure that is going to be more than welcome.
I have a question, actually. What era do your listeners and the people that buy the music, what era is their favourite era? Because I've got some stuff from like 98, 99 Jungle that never got released. But when I was talking to Brent, he kind of felt that it was probably a bit too late. He kind of felt that after 97... it was, is anything sort of before 97, but he said it is in sections of like 91, 92, sort of 93, 94. So what is your favorite era? Let us know. Let me know. I'm actually interested to find out what your favorite era is.
Yeah. All right. So let's get some comments in there. Just stick the year in or a range of years. There we go. So G Master already is in there. Where is he? 90 to 93. Damien, 90 to 95. Charlie's very, very 90, just anything 90s. Go on, Charlie.
88, 89. I love
there
that.
There you go.
Era. I love that.
Mr. Dave Elusive Birch, big up yourself. Dave's another one, 92 Retros, doing some represses. And actually, he was one of the original guys with 92 Retro. He was putting out vinyl releases, represses of classic tunes from, wow, long, long, long time ago. Big up yourself, Dave. Scotty says 90 to 94, Samantha's 90 to 92, Darren Buzz 90 to 92, Mark Bullard 90, Jim Flux 91 to 96. So definitely 92, 93 is definitely a big one. Okay. 92 probably doing it big. John Driver saying the same. So I think you're pretty safe with anything from 90 to 93. Yeah, basically. But to be honest, they're my two favorite years as well. Like that for me was, You know, I missed the whole of 93 because I spent a whole year in New Zealand. So I've spent the last 27 years catching up with all these tunes, which is great because I'm still finding new old tunes. So it's like I'm kind of reliving that whole year. Darren Barnes says Ace and back on the scene. So this is a good one. I don't know if you've seen this. Ace, yeah, mate, I'm not joking. Chris Lunacy sent me all the remixes that they've done. Mate, I was so emotional. It was unreal. I literally was shaking as I was downloading it. All the Trip to the Moons, unreleased, and the supposed Trip to the Moon Part 4, which is actually a Santos... Oh, God, I can't remember his name. Someone will spot it in there. It was an official remix for FFRR, but never actually came out. But the remixes and the unreleased stuff, and Aeson's done some versions of it. Honestly, it's just out of this fucking world. Six-piece final, mate. I am all over that. 16th of November.
Could you imagine, like, if everybody, like, who was making music back then all come back and started making the music? Surely the whole thing would have to grow again. Maybe not as big as it was, but do you not feel that we're in that kind of time right now where everything, do you remember years ago when everything was a bit illegal and it was all, there was all these bloody restrictions put on us, and our one escape was basically through music, whether you listened to it, you played it, you made it or whatever, that was our escape. And it was also a way for like-minded people to get together. Because that's one of the beautiful things about this is, you know, like, big up Tim Parker, you've just put on the screen. I don't know Tim, but you know what? Yeah. One thing I know is that we both have that connection in terms of we love the music from them eras. And everybody else, Jim, Flox, Gene Mass and Sam and, you know, Dave and all these people that are leaving comments, Scott, you know, everybody is like kind of, you know, the one thing that unites us is the music. Do you know what I mean? And can you imagine if, like, Rat Pack and like Ratty and everybody, you know, Groove, everybody just started. Can you imagine it? It'd be mental.
I've got to give Tim a shout out. He's one of my oldest mates, and he was the guy that took me to Stearns. Him and an old mate of mine from John from Hayling Island. We used to have like a little caravan down there from like 89, and we kind of grew up doing all kind of mad shit together. And it was him and John that took me to Stearns for the first time. So big up yourself, Tim. I hope you and all the family's good. But you know what? It still excites me so much, the music. It really does. I've got such a connection to it. I've gone through musically with all different stuff from kind of garage and jungle and drum and bass and breakbeat. And I've just come full cycle back round. And even throughout all that period, there's always been a love and affinity for that era of music. And maybe it's kind of the social presence. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe we're all a bit older and wiser, whatever it may be. But it definitely feels like there's probably a stronger community now than there was back then. You know, people are so passionate. People are so knowledgeable about it. There's all these groups that are out. You could just pop a like. Oh, what is that tune that goes beep, 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 beep? And there's like 15 people coming in, go, it's this, this, this. Here's the remix. Here's the version. Yeah. Here's the catalog number. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and I think it's because there was so much elusiveness about it back in the day. You know, as I said, like the beginning of the show, like magazines didn't cover it. Music Mag, DJ Mag, all those magazines didn't touch it. You didn't have any socials. There was nothing apart from pirates, flyers, raves. That was the only connection that you had, you know, to the music scene. So now, like, digging back, especially at Discogs for me is like a website you go onto. And Ron Wells was one of the ones that you see that if you really dig deep, you realise just how much these people were involved in it. Yeah. Rob Playford, Moving Shadow, you know, all these guys.
It was quite, it's quite weird because for a big sort of scene, it was a small community. Do you know what I mean? But do you know what? Talking about, like, so you're mentioning loads of names. Guess who bloody contacted me about 2 months ago? Dave Lambert, who used to run the Fantasy Rave, where I got my name from.
And so someone did ask, actually, and I know that we did talk about this, but you feel free to recap how you got the name.
Yeah, so basically I played at there's right. So basically, when back in the day, I used to, just to get into raves for free, I would like hand out flyers. Do you know what I mean? Not even to get in for free. Before that, going back, I remember Slough Centre. I would, there was, the queues were massive to go in there, and I really didn't want to be standing in the queue. So I got to know the promoter, Stuart, and I just said to him, look, I'm going to Rage, Land of Oz on a Monday, Rage on a Thursday. Do you want me to take some flyers for you? And he was like, yeah, cool. And so I just said, look, if I take flyers, will you just give me a queue jump? And he was like, yeah, cool. So I remember when I got there and I was with my like mates, and I'd be like, Stuart, yeah. And he'd go, come on. And I'd be like, come on, lads. And we'd all walk in, and I felt such a bust, huge up, you know. Still paid my £25, didn't give a shit, paid the £25. You know, he probably thought, what a mug, come on. I'll take your money sooner. Anyway, it didn't matter. And I remember being there outside Land of Oz. I was handing out flyers, and I remember Jarvis from biology went to me, you got any Vips for that? And I went, the first thing that went in my head was, what the fuck are Vips? Right, that was the first thing. And then I just went, No, you got any Vips for that? Like, because I didn't know what the fuck.
Nice, no, just switch you around. Good work.
Switch, Rob, come on, man. And he went to me, yeah, meet me at Vinyl Zone tomorrow. And sweet, that was where I used to buy my records. So no problems. I walked into Vinyl Zone. He went to me, bring a passport photo. I was like, all right, cool. So I brought a passport photo, and he went, yeah, give it to me. Next thing you know, he's handing me this biology free pass, staff pass. I can't believe it, bro. I was buzzing, and I went, oh, do you want me to take some flyers for you? So I just took a big batch of flyers. Anyway, that's how I kind of, and I was buying records. So I was kind of toying with the fact that I wanted to be a DJ. I wanted to get out there. Do you know what I mean? But so I was kind of like making like relationships with promoters and that. And yeah, I just remember Jarvis phoned me up one day, and he's like, are you coming to the thing here in South London? I was like, yeah. And he went, I need someone to do the first set. Oh, man, I was on it. You know what I mean? There weren't no one there. I didn't give a shit. I was just like, they were coming in. And I was playing. And then, but yeah, it was like, it was madness. But so anyway, Dave Lambert, but this is like, obviously I've been sort of playing. This is before I was Fantasy. This is when I was just, I didn't have a name. I was just Steve.
DJ and, Steve.
DJ, well, I didn't have it. It literally was just Steve. No one said to me, you know, actually, there was a flyer called Time Warp, and I met this guy who's such a legend, right? And he went, I'm going to put you on my flyer. I was like, what, my first flyer? Yes. What's your name? I went, Steve. So on the flyer, it's DJ Steve. I was like, fuck's sake. You know, you surely come up with something more original than that. Anyway, I was handing out flyers. I was doing tickets. Sorry. I kind of moved up from doing flyers to selling tickets. And like, bloody hell, there was a lot of money in selling tickets. Trust me. When you're making like £2, £3, £4, £5 a bloody booking fee and you sell 1,000 tickets, that's nice dough. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I had my mum running it while I wasn't there. My mum was running it for me, man. And she is like a proper shark. She'd be like, you know what I mean? She was on it. Fair play to her. She smashed it. Anyway, so what happened was, I see. All right, Damien, I see that coming. We won't say nothing about this, about that. But anyway, basically, Dave Lambert was running. We went this story is actually in the SASAS documentary, which is available on the website, sasas.co.uk. So the documentary is on there, and like that bit, this bit I'm about to tell you is on there. So I went to the Fantasy office on the day of the event, September the 30th, 1989. And I just went there as Steve, the ticket guy. And I basically, they gave me 100 tickets, or they gave me a shitload of tickets anyway. And then I basically, cut a long story short, I basically sold all the tickets, every one of them. And then what happened was I went into obviously the police had closed the event down or tried to close it down. And I just remember getting out and telling everyone, run across the field, run across the field. And as I'm running across the field, I thought, wait a minute, I've lost my security, my dogs. I had two security guys and two dogs and my mate Wurzel. I lost everybody and my pockets were stuffed with money. I mean, it was ridiculous. Anyway, I found the office and I went in and I was like, look, I need to give you this money. And they went, oh, no, can you see us in the week? We're too busy. And I just went, fuck that. And I just slapped about 10 grand on the table. And they were like, oh, what's this? And I'm like, I sold all those tickets. And they went, counted £1,000 out and gave me £1,000. And I went, I don't want the money. I want to play. And they went, listen, take the money and you can play. I was like, fucking sweet. I took the money. And I tell you what, I waited all night. I didn't get on till about 7 a.m, but I didn't give a shit. I was so happy to be there. Do you know what I mean? And anyway, I played my set, and I remember they were dismantling the stage while I was on. It was quite funny. And Mickey Finn was in the crowd going, turn, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then Mickey's come along and he sorted my EQ out, because I just had everything probably maxed up. Do you know what I mean? I
hear it. Just redline the whole mixer.
I didn't even know what an EQ was back then. Do you know what I mean? And next thing you know, I went to see Dave, who ran the event, because they all got arrested. I went to see him on the Wednesday after, and he lived in Battersea, and I went to see him, and I was like, look, is it possible I can use Fantasy as my DJ name, because obviously the event means something to me, you know what I mean? Because it was the first sort of really big event I'd properly played at, do you know what I mean? And he just said, yeah, if you just put DJ in front of it, cool. So then that day, September the 30th, 1989, was the day DJ Fantasy was born.
Wow, that literally was 31 years and a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, but that's why the book come out on September the 30th, 2019.
Yeah,
and it was called Three Generations.
Yes, I remember now. Yeah, I know. I'm going to say again, because those that follow me on socials, they know I've read a few books, and I've always been frustrated that I won't name names. You know, they'll cover the early house bit, acid house, and next thing you know, they're talking about jungle, and I'm like, there's like 2 years in the middle that has just been completely skimmed over. So I was so happy. Yours is the first book that I read that actually really covers that in detail, but it's intertwined with so many cool stories. Three Generations Deep, well worth a read. Really well. And I've got to big up Dave Jenkins again, because he, yes, between a pair of you, did a sterling job, mate. Yeah, for sure. I want to ask you, Chris, from Facebook, he says, what was your favourite DJ and producer from the rave years?
From the rave years. Sub Love. Do you remember Sub Love?
Yeah, Jody Wistonoff, yeah.
So check this out. He actually contacted my management last year about doing a remix for him, and I was like, bloody hell, I didn't even know he was still making music. But apparently he's like smashed it in some other world. I don't know what he's doing. Is it film stuff? And I don't know what he's doing. But
so he kind of teamed up with Nick Warren for Way Out West, and they did like some amazing stuff. The gift was a massive
that's
tune.
It. Way Out West, because that's what the title of it was, Way Out West. So but I used to love his stuff, Jody Sublove. His stuff was like next level.
Yeah.
I actually had someone contact me the other day, weirdly enough, telling me that that they were the guy that produced the tracks with Crazy J. Do you remember Crazy J?
The name rings a bell.
So he would have been around the same era as like 14B, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think he produced at 14B, though. Do you know what I mean? But I'm just trying to think. I don't think that's proper Adamski, but the thing is if it is, big up, bro. I haven't seen you for a while, but he was sick as well. Adamski, yes. Is this live?
Yeah,
it's live,
it is. Right. Yeah, there you go. See, Adamski.
The thing is Adamski was sick. Oh man, there were so many, you know, Prodigy. I mean, I don't want to kind of pick the ones everybody knew. I want to kind of go a bit deeper. That's why I said Sub Love. Also, Nebula 2, Joe.
Yeah.
He was sick as well. I loved his stuff. I remember when Pete Waterman put me on the spot, I couldn't think of anything. And because I was told before we did that TV show, we're going to plan all the questions and everything like that. And then next thing you know, I turned around to Pete and he was like, getting all dried up because it was so hot in there. And he turned around and he goes, what are we going to talk about? He went, I don't know, we'll make it up as we go along. And I went, ah. And then he just went, and he went, what's your favourite tune? And put the mic in my hand. And I went, and I honestly, proper, bass overdose. That's right. But I was literally caught out, and the only thing I could think of was Nebula 2 Cod Rider. I just remember they had this tune.
Cod Rider was a big tune. And the flip side, Both sides are banging tunes.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a quick big up to Mark Bollard from all the Wax On Crew in Birmingham. These guys do like Vine Lonely Nights. Again, keeping that vibe alive. Big up yourself, Mark. Out to all the Wax On Crew.
Big up, Mark. Yes, Ron. Okay, yes, Bass Overdose. Ron's just messaged that Jack Crazy J was Bass Overdose, but yeah, I don't know. Oh, actually, Ron, did you get that message I sent you the other day with that big house producer that's done a mix of Trip to Trumpton? There's somebody sent me a link. It's like a proper big EDM house producer's actually done a version of Trip to Trumpton, but they've kind of, and he actually said afterwards, yes, I know it was done back in the rave days. Do you know what I mean? But he's used the, you know, the bells, the fire alarm thing. I don't know if I don't think he's used the riff. Do you know what I mean? But
do you know what? I'm sure. And someone shared a video of someone's done a house mix of Bookham's remix of, oh my God, my brain's totally gone. What's that massive remix that he did back in 93? Come on, Samantha, you're good at all these. You know the ones.
I don't know the names of my own tunes, for fuck's sake. You're asking me what about
Bookham? What?
I was saying, this is embarrassing. Yeah, it's a funny story about Bookham, right? Danny, I was in his house, right? And I was remember saying to him, Dan, why did you call the label Good Looking? And he went, I don't know what the fuck is that? Like, he just made me laugh. He called himself Good Looking because he said all of his mates, they all thought they were good looking. I thought it was a great name.
Fair enough. There you go. All right. So what have we got? Let's have a look, see if we've got any questions. I've kind of been Flatliner. Thanks, Damski. Yeah, that was the other flip side to Cod Rider, Nebula 2.
Well, someone's just said, Damski just said, I'm more like Daddy Chester than Adam. You know what? I actually see Daddy Chester. Where did I see him? I think he might have been a rain dance. And man, I hadn't seen him for years, and it was such a pleasure because he was such a lovely guy, Daddy Chester, man. Always had time for people, and like, this is way back, way, way, way back, like before MCs were a thing. It was literally, there was like Rat Pack and then obviously Daddy Chester. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Big up, Kate. I see you. How are you?
Yeah. Nice to have you. Yeah, it was indeed Apollo 2 Return to Atlantis, and Saman said, I think you're right. I think it was the Sam supplier who had done a house mix of it. I wasn't quite sure about that. Marky did a fantastic remix of it, like an official. I think it was Marky Inspire that did like a proper drum and bass mix of it back in the day. So, you know what I want to ask you about? So obviously like the jungle scene was kind of rife with dub plates, and it was like, that was when it was getting serious business, everyone having their own tunes. Did you ever experience that, like, in the earlier years? Like, when for you did that kind of start happening? Was it really just, like, whoever got to the record shop first got the tunes before the kind of dub plate culture kicked in? How did it all work?
Yeah, man. Well, look, you obviously built a relationship up with the person in the shop, and what they would do is they would give you the stuff under the counter. But when I first started going record shopping, right, there was this geezer at Vinyl Zone called Steve, and he was a nice guy. I got on well with him. But he kept the stuff under the counter. It was so funny. He'd go to me, there'd be no one in the shop at all. And this is what don't say nothing, yeah. Don't say nothing. I've got this is a like brand new green wax, yeah. And like, I'd be like, yeah, sweet. Salado, that's the one, Brent. Salado done it. He's just put the link up there. But anyway, Steve would just put this green piece of vinyl down. He'd be like, yeah, this is the new shit. And I'd be like, oh, wicked. Yeah, I'll take it. Didn't even listen to it. Got home. And you know when you're listening to it and you're like, you're trying your hardest to pick something, pick something you like it. He just took a 200 quid off me. And as I walked out of the shop, he must have been laughing his bollocks off. He got rid of the old shit that no one knew. But as I got to know him, this is when I first started going, but as I got to know him, like, he then started giving me the bombs. And then, because otherwise I'd go and fucking spend my money elsewhere, you know what I mean? And he knew that. So, and then I remember going shopping with Carl Cox. Mate, I'll tell you a funny story, right? I'm sure you guys know of Phil Wells, Basement Records. So I always remember going in to Reading with Phil, to where Phil had a shop there, right? And I remember walking in the shop, and it was round. It was this long, big, long counter, and it was round. And I'm standing there, right? And I'm like, as he walks past, like, oh, excuse me, mate. Just proper ignored me. I was like, all right, cool. And then he just fucking blowing me off all over the place. Anyway, I just went, oi, mate, can I get one of those? And let me listen to that. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, cool. And anyway, next thing you know, like, everyone's like, he's put a tune on and he's going sorting everyone out. I mean, he was really busy. Anyway, he's turned around about 10 minutes later, 5-10 minutes later, I'm kind of, sorry, who are you? And I went, oh, I'm DJ Fantasy. Mate, everybody else in the shop, he just completely ignored and just stood in front of me. And I thought, you fucking wanker. Yeah, you didn't want to know me a minute ago. I said, yeah, you got anything under the counter? Oh, mate, the fucking tunes were flying out then. I left with a pile that high. But you know what? I don't hold grudges. I've got a lot of respect for Phil. You know, I mean, I've known him for years and obviously worked with him for many years. But the thing is, man, my piles are like that. But going shopping with Carl Cox was not the one, because Carl would buy everything and anything just to support the industry and buy it. And obviously, when you're with Carl, you've got to go, yeah, I'll get one of them. And then they were just going, pulling two piles. And our piles were fucking stacked, man. And I'm just like thinking, how the fuck am I going to even get these home? Do you know what I mean?
Let alone pay for them.
No, I never had that Carl Cox money, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't no Ford deck. I was just still trying to get my head around two decks. Do you know what I mean? But the thing is, it was, you just had to just know the people in the shop and they would give you the under-the-counter exclusives. Do you know what I mean? And I think it was the they had a bit of everything under the counter, especially the shit they couldn't get rid of.
It was, do you know what? It was, you definitely had to be a certain type of person and a certain persona to work in a record shop. And if you didn't know who they were, then that was it. Basically, you know, you'd get ignored. You'd eventually be there. We used to go a lot to like Naked Records in Harrow Weald because it was the closest one to us. And my mate would never go there because he worked in a suit around the corner, big up yourself for him. And he's like, I ain't walking into a record shop in my suit. There is no way in fucking God's earth am I walking in there in a suit. Because he'd gone in there every Saturday and was slowly building up this reputation and didn't want to be known as like the briefcase wanker that walked in there in a suit. So listen, I've got a question for you. How many records would you say you own now?
Not many. Sold them all.
You got rid of, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll rephrase. At the peak, how many do you reckon you had?
Thousands, like 20, 30, 30. It was ridiculous. Like, you know, and the thing is, I remember what it was like, I was moving, like I lived in a flat, and honestly, just this whole corner of the flat was just stacked with, they weren't even neatly stacked. They were just stacked. Do you know what I mean? And like every time we moved, it was like a fucking ball ache trying to move them. And anyway, someone just hit me up. This geezer from Leicester hit me up and he just said, look, you know, do you want to buy, I want to, like, have you got any records to sell? And I was just like, yeah, what, you know, make me an, I basically said, come down, make me an offer. And he made me an offer. And I just said, yeah, cool. Yes, but there's that many. You had to do a couple of trips.
What
I kept, I gave him some bombs, mate. He would have definitely quadrupled his money back. But I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to keep my stuff and I'm going to keep all the 88, 89 and 1990. Though, because that's my favorite era. And the reason it's my favorite era is because I believe that everybody's favorite era is at the point they found the music. So I found the music at 88 and it was like, oh my God, what is this? It's amazing. And that, I'll always have that fond memory of like everybody together. There weren't no fighting. You know, before that, I'd be going to Dingle's on a Friday night, a Saturday night, and guaranteed at 2 a.m. it's going to kick off. It was absolute. It was a dead cert. There was going to be a fight at 2 a.m. Even if you weren't in it, you weren't involved, you'd just be standing there and it'd be kicking off. So I always had that kind of, you know, growing up, there was always this Aggie kind of element to club life. So when I found raves and I just see everyone was just there, like loving each other, it was just like, what the bloody hell? This is like mad. Do you know what I mean? This is like crazy. So, but I'll tell you one thing, listen, one thing, just to quickly switch up, yeah. Someone sent me this yesterday, right? Now this is, I didn't have this. Somebody, I've got to big him up. I'll find his name now in a second. I'll find his name while I'm listening, while you're listening. Someone sent me this. It's my tune, right? I didn't even have it. He had the dat of it, or he had like something of it. Listen to this. I hope you can hear it. Another exclusive. I'm going to talk over it.
That's number four. Number four.
Any ideas?
I'm waiting for the tempo to try and categorize the year.
Unreleased remix. It was made at Jack Smooth Studio. The geezer's name was Ben Cross. Big up, Ben. Oh, no, no, sorry. No, that's another. That's someone else. Sorry. No, his name's Don. Big up, Don. Big up, Don. No, it's not Don's vocal.
I'm going 92.
93. Do you not know what tune it is?
I mean, it kind of sounds like it's been played, like I'm hearing bits of it. I'm not hearing it as clear as you're hearing it.
Right, it's Liquid Aliens. Are you sure I'm going to be okay remix?
There you go. Dave Elusive, of course, he's got it.
Do you hear the 14B strings?
There you go.
You see the drums on this are all over the place. I think that's got to be the thing to like to do, like when we do all this new stuff, is don't make the drums perfect.
Yeah, oh, it's got to be loose, and you've got to make sure the time signature kind of weaves in and out, so it's impossible to mix, and you have to stay on top of it.
just buy it. You can't fucking mix it, though, you know what I mean?
Do you know what? I've got a lot of... I still listen to a lot of tapes from, like, 91 to 94, mostly, like, around 91, 92 and 3, and I'm still... It blows me away what a DJ could do with two records and a kind of basic bit mixer. None of these things. And Bill Vega, who again, he's another one who's really pushing all the vinyl represses. He's doing all the Lifting Spirit stuff and some of the early Origin Unknown stuff on RAM. So big up yourself, Bill. I've got a nice four release package from him this week. He said, have you noticed that no one does a live stream of vinyl with 91 tunes? And I'm like, right, I'm not having that. I'm going to do that now. I took that as a challenge. And I did the show and I was like, fucking hell, that is so much hard work. Not only is it kind of done in a MIDI studio, so the time signature's kind of moving around like this, there's also like 7-bar intros, or it might be 16 and a half or something like that. Everything was just kind of like...
There was no formula back in the day, man. Just fucking just throw it in. And that's one of the things that I was talking to Gemini with the stuff like with Ron. Everything is like, I think it'll be more precise. And because if you listen to the stuff that we made together, it was always very clean and it just had this nice sort of vibes to it. But the stuff I made with Gemini was just fucking throw the kitchen sink in. And I think that's what I want to do. I'm working on something today. It's a drum and bass thing, but it's kind of a jungle influence. And you know, I'm listening to the break, and the break is all over the place. And like I was sitting there, like making it really perfectly tight. And then you lost the vibe of the break. Do you know what I mean? But it worked perfectly for drum and bass. But I just thought to myself, I'm not going to do that when we do the old stuff. It's going to be messy. Well, still be sounding good, but it will be messy. Kind of keep that authentic vibe to it. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
do you know what? The key word for me is the rawness. It's that raw sound of it. It's not polished. It's kind of got that, like you say, that authenticity to it. I've got a serious question for you, Steve.
Well, before you ask that serious question, can I just all say, right. Dave Elusive Birch has just sent a message saying that's not the version of the unreleased one he has. I wanted to say, if there's anybody that's got any of my old stuff that's unreleased, please can you send it to me, send a copy of it to me. Like I said to Don, like when we, if and when we press it, I will send him a signed copy or whatever, you know what I mean, as a way of thank you, you know, because back in the day, you used to give a dat to someone and you would never see it back. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, it's like, you all of you must have lent your mate a video game or whatever, or a VHS tape or a DVD or something. Well, before DVDs, a VHS tape, and never see that tape again. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, you know, that's what I'm saying. So the amount of dats that we give out, and this is way before CDs, this was a dat. And like, I know there's loads of my tunes out there that people have got. So please, if you can, like, send them back to me, like, that would be wicked. I mean, obviously I've got a lot of it, but there is stuff that I don't have. And it'd be great to be able to get that, because even if I don't repress them on vinyl, I am going to get them all remastered to basically to put on Bandcamp or put somewhere. I'm probably going to release some albums. Like, the plan was, I've been talking to Pascal, the plan would be to like, kind of like, you know, Generations is the thing, and it's like, my album is called Generations, the book's called Three Generations Deep. So I'm going to go pre-generation, first generation, the rave generation. It's just a generation. So yeah, so if anyone got any music, like, please, it's dubs@djfantasy.co.uk. And you know what, while we're here, any of you lot that are making music, doesn't matter what it is, rave, jungle, drum and bass, house, I want to hear it. Send it to me. I will try my best to get back to you. If I don't, doesn't mean I haven't got it. I'm just mad busy. And, you know, but I do love to hear something. And you never know. Like, I had someone send me something about 4 months ago. He sent me this one tune and he sent it to 5 people. And I got back to him and I was like, has anyone replied to you? And he went, no. He said, you're the first one. And I was like, cool, I want to sign this. In the end, end up signing him as he sent me loads more stuff. And the geezer, he's 18 years old from Germany. He is next level. If he's this good at 18 and he's not even doing it full time, what's he going to be like in 10 years time? He's going to be ridiculous. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always looking to like try and expand the family. And I even asked you, Jay, that's why my question to you was, who's out there making beats, like the new beats? Because I'm always trying to think of how can we pull this in together. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we'll talk about that, but I've got a serious question for you first.
Let me take
what have you got a, yeah, take just take a breath, mate. What have you got against the Hippodrome?
Well, I'd rather check a tin can.
Mate, the amount of people that messaged me saying that this question, I was like, oh my god, right?
So I asked, you know, the maddest thing is, I think that they never booked me for the Manchester Hippodrome because of that, because they actually called me and they went, this is when the record come out and my number used to be on the record. I used to get people calling me going, oh mate, yeah, what does the record say? And I'd be like, you know, been out all night and the phone rings at 8 a.m. and I'd be like, I don't know. And they go, oh, excuse me, mate, on your record it says, never tried a Hippodrome, I'd rather take a clear cap. And I was like, nah, man, rather check a tin can. What does it mean? it's just a rap, man. You know what I mean? Like, some people, if I was awake, I'd go, well, you know, back in the day when people who take crack used to wrap the coke can and they'd bend it over and they'd rather check a tin can. That's, you know, and I'd go, but if I was asleep, I'd, oh, I don't know, man, it's just a rap, but thanks a lot. Put the phone out. But yeah, the Manchester Hippodrome called me and they went, Fantasy. And they said, is this DJ Fantasy? I'm like, yeah. And they go, oh, we're blah, blah from the Manchester Hippodrome. Oh, yeah, cool. How are you? Thinking, are they going to phone me to book me? Why did you put that record about us? And I was like, what? I said, what are you talking about? It's not about anybody. It's just a bloody rap. Like, and then they were just like, oh, are you sure it wasn't about us? I'm like, no, it really wasn't about you. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know about the Hippodrome at that time. Do you know what I mean? I knew about the London one. I didn't know there was one in Manchester. But yeah, but I played at the Hippodrome in London loads. And I played that record.
Yeah. Just check, is that the right email address? dubs@djfantasy.com, yeah?
I think it's .co.uk. Hold on, let me check. DJ Fantasy. Yeah, .co.uk, sorry.
Oh, no, that's totally my bad. I just want to make sure I get that right. There we go. Yeah, you know what? I went to the Hippodrome once, definitely. I can't remember. It was definitely like the old Orange Raves that were down there. So, and that was quite a different experience because I was used to kind of going to these dark, dingy places. And the next thing you know, you're at a Hippodrome and it's got this full mental kind of square lighting rig that kind of comes down. And yeah, that was quite a different experience, especially from like laser driving Peckham.
Listen to this. I'll tell you a funny story. I met Hype at the Hippodrome, right? And I always remember Gemini used to go to me. There's this geezer called Hype. He's wicked. He scratches and everything. I was like, all right, cool. So anyway, I was coming off the decks, and Hype was going on, and I was like, you know me, I'm like, you know me, I'm friendly, innit? I'm like, hey, what's happening? You're Hype. Oh yeah, my mate Gemini says you're a wicked DJ. Da 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 da. And like, give me your number. So Hype gave me a card. And so I phoned him up the next day and I was like, all right, it's Fantasy. And he's like, yeah, woo. You know, Hype, miserable as ever. He's like, yeah, what? And then I was like, yeah, man, what are you doing? I don't know why the fuck, because I would never do that now. But I went, yeah, where are you? I'm going to come and meet you. And I just drove up to his house. And like, we just become really good friends. And we're still friends to this day. I was talking to him earlier. Like, we're still really good friends this day. He's like one of my good friends in this industry. You know what I mean? And you know what? I always remember he said to me after about a month of knowing me, he went, you used to hate you. And I was like, you hate me? Why? And he went, well, you're playing at all those big raves and I'm not. And I was like, oh, fuck off, man. Do you know what I mean? But he was like, no, but you're all right, you are. And I was like, for fuck's sake. He fucking hates me. And he didn't hate me. Because I knew him now a month, and I was actually all right. You know what? That's just Kev, isn't it? I just love him to bits.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Straight down the line, you know, never ever, like, no fucking, you don't get, oh yeah, I really like this and all that shit. He'll tell you this is shit, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I love him for that. You know, sometimes he'd tell me things like, oh, you've got to do this, and I'll be like, oh, fuck off, you know, like, I'm just thinking, oh, I was fucking doing this before you, but you know what I mean? You can't say he's a legend, you know what I mean? I love him to bits, but big up Hype.
Yes, indeed, mate.
He's an absolute.
Yeah, nice. I'm actually meeting up with Hype tomorrow. I'm heading down the Players' Dungeon. He's back in the place now. He's back with a vengeance.
Hey, listen. Listen, bruv, make sure your whole day, you ain't getting out of the dungeons unless you basically fight your way out. Just make sure you haven't got any dinners planned. Tell the missus, babe, no dinners. But the dungeons is like, bring some video cameras and everything. You'll have an amazing time down there.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I've been chatting to him a bit recently. It's nice to kind of see he's back on the coast. So we're doing a bit of work together through the rain side. So, yeah, I'm also hopefully going to get him down to do one of these as well, because he's got one or two stories to tell.
Oh, mate, he's got some amazing stories. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's. I told him the other day, I said to him, you need to write a book, because he's got so much stuff that he needs to get out. Do you know what I mean? And you know, I said to him, like, the thing is, when you've been at the top for so long, because he's been at the top of the game for so, I do you know what, I remember just quickly talking about Hype, I remember the day everything changed for him, and is I went to Coventry Eclipse with him, and he was playing at Jungle Fever. I never used to play for Jungle Fever, so I just went there with him because I knew this event was, like, you know, obviously I played at the Eclipse all the time, and I just said, oh, Kev, like, you know, we were hanging out, innit? He said, do you want to come? I went up there. And I remember watching him on the balcony, and he was down on the DJ thing playing, and I was just watching. And it was that night that changed everything for Hype as a DJ in Jungle. Like, he just come so prepared, and he had tunes that nobody had. He just had, like, he must have spent about $5,000 on dubs. It was ridiculous. And he played such a sick set that night, and that basically... I remember on the way home, he was like as high as a kite, and, you know, he don't touch drugs. Do you know what I mean? He'd have a little spliff in that, but he never touched drugs. But he was so high off of the vibe from the crowd. And we were talking about it the other day, and he said he always remembers that his mate turned around and said to him that that his mate said to him, this is what I've been waiting for all my life, like, just seeing this happening right now. Do you mind holding on 1 second? Sorry, 1 sec. Hello? Oh, I pay wicked. I'm live with Jay online. He's laughing because I've answered the phone. But of course, if my wife calls, I'm like, everything's fine.
No, it's fine, mate. It's fine.
Yeah, I know, but Jay, you know what he does, mate? He just chats so much, man. I can't get a word in edgeways.
I do like talking, I'll give you that.
she didn't realise we were still live. Sorry, when the wife calls, man, you know what I mean? Got to answer, innit? You know what I mean? But yes,
well, no, we'll
wrap this up now. So thanks for coming, Jay. I really appreciate that.
No, it's a pleasure, mate. I'll see you later. Yeah.
Listen, if you go to the dungeon tomorrow, just tell the missus you'll be back Saturday because you ain't getting out of there. It's a great vibes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been seeing, he's been bang on it with everything, with channel, the videos and stuff, and the vibe he's trying to create down there, and it looks wicked down there. All different style of music, producers, DJs and stuff. So yeah, it's gonna be a trip coming down there. But listen, I want to kind of talk about, you know, I mean, literally I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours and hours. Let's forward a little bit to now. Lockdown, obviously clubs, festivals, everything's like been suffering mad, but I know that has not stopped you. You've just had an album out, Generations, yeah. And I know you've got other bits and pieces going on. Fill us in, mate. What's happening?
Yeah, so basically I'm working with a team of people. Like what I've been doing during lockdown, one of the things I've been doing is trying to keep fit because, you know, like we would kind of try to keep fit running through bloody airports. And when we be abroad, we'd get you better check your emails, by the way. I sent you a logo. The thing is like we basically, when we get to the hotels, like, I don't know, we went to Australia, we get to a hotel, like, you know, Mackie and I would probably go in the gym with Harry and we'd all be there just like gymming each other up and working out. So what I've been, one of the things I've been doing, out of many things I've been doing, one of the things I've been doing is working on a brand called DMB Hit. And we also have Jungle Hit, Rave Hit and UKG Hit. So UKG Hit is involved with Garage Nation. Rave Hit is a Moondancer involved. I spoke to Grant Epidemic the other day about getting involved for Epidemic. And then you've got the Jungle and Drum and Bass, which are kind of sort of fall in the same category. But basically, if you go along, there's two of the sites are up. There's dmbhit.com and then there's also ravehit.com, and hit is spelled H-I-I-T. So what we've done is we were supposed to have an event on November the 7th. No, that's not it. No, DMB no. Hit. No, that's hit the floor. It's DMB Hit. So if you scroll down, DMB, so I can't even type on the screen here. How can you type?
Give me the, what's the link for it? I'll find
www.dnbhiit.com.
Oh, yeah, there we go. All right, let's bring it back in.
And then also for your audience, there's something that's probably a little bit more apt for your guys. So this is the DMB one. It's DMB and Jungle in one. So you see the logo, top left-hand corner, DMB and Jungle Hit. Yeah, so basically what we're doing is we're going to be doing live events. I've already got the first lineup I've got is for the DMB Jungle Hit is Kenny Ken, Nicky Black Market, myself and Skibber. That's the first one. And then if you go to ravehit.co.uk, I think it is, rave, H-I-I-T. Yeah, so there you go. You'll see that's the rave one. Now, the first event we've got is Rat Pack and Slipmat with Five Alive. So basically, you know, we were supposed to be on 7th of November, but due to all of the government guidelines and everything, we've had to kind of just basically hold back on it for now. But just keep an eye on that. And the socials are, you know, if you follow at DMB Hit on Instagram, Twitter and everything like that, you'll be able to kind of see. So that's one of the things I've been working on. I also work with on a, because obviously anyone that knows me knows I'm a big Chelsea fan, and I basically work on there's the Chelsea Echo, which is a YouTube channel and a social media platform which is basically all things Chelsea. That's the Chelsea Echo. So big up my boy Louis's the main man. Louis just does everything. He's an absolute don. And so I worked with Louis on that, but Louis was doing another Chelsea channel before, and then he left that, And yeah, so basically he's doing this now and I'm working with him on that. So that's that. I'm trying to think now what else. Oh, bloody hell, there's so many things. I can't even remember them all now. Oh, yes. We've got a new podcast, video cast starting as well. Based, I can't remember the bloody name of it now. Oh, yeah. Also, as well, for the drum and bass fans, I've got a social media outlet, D&B Vibes, which I work with my boys, Shane and George. And that's doing really well. We've got a new label for that. So there's loads of things going on, man. Just, you know, just got to kind of keep things moving. We can't just kind of, you can't just sort of sit there and go, oh, there's no raves on. You've got to, right, okay, what can we do? Do you know what I mean? You know me, I've always kind of kept my hands in on stuff, you know what I mean? And also as well, the reason why I asked people to send music, because we found some really, like, from the drum and bass side, I found some really exciting youngsters in drum and bass right now. There's a girl called DJ Kara. And what I love about Kara is she's only like, she just turned 21. And she, her social media is so on point. But you know what? She loves the jungle. Like, you know, the old music? Like, she's got, yeah, like, yeah. She knows about it because her mum was a DJ and her dad was a producer. I'm going to meet them this weekend because she's actually playing at Skibber's thing. And then also she's like, she's a big star for the future. Also, I'm working with Ben Snows, another big star for the future, and also a kid called Kinetics, working with him. And then also Time Limit, the guy from Germany. So that's what I'm saying. It's just, you know, we've been in a position that we find ourselves in. We have to try and help bring people through. And I've always done that going back years. You know, I've always been like there to help, you know, try and help people come through and realize their potential, because I don't look at anyone as a threat or as a competition. I look at everyone as allies. And the bigger we are together, the stronger the whole thing is. Do you understand what I mean?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
If you look at, like, see, Mackie G, yeah, Mackie G has gone on to become one of the biggest DJs in drum and bass. Now, other people might have seen that he was coming big and kind of tried to suffocate that. I enhanced that, because the bigger Mackie becomes, that's better for me. Do you understand? Yeah. I benefit off of that because we work together, and, like, I want all of the people I work with to do really well. So, you know, so it's, you know, it's really exciting. And I think, just going back to Kara, there's some amazing female artists coming through right now. I mean, we have from back in the day, DJ Rap, you know, an absolute legend. And then, you know, more sort of after that, you had your sort of Kemi Storm, and then your Misrepresents, and, you know, everything like that. And then what it is, there seems to be a new wave of, like, female DJs in drum and bass, and they just seem to be influenced by jungle, like that new jungle, but they love the old jungle as well. There's another girl who I've seen is really good, Jazzy Lioness. There's another girl, Danny, although Danny does it for fun more than she don't want to be out there playing, although I think she's bloody good enough. She should do it. But there's some amazing female talent, man. Do you know what I mean? And also, yeah, as well, producer-wise, there's a female DJ called Georgina Phoenix. And, mate, I signed two tunes off of her, and the tunes are, like, mental. They're, like, she's sick, you know what I mean? And, like, she's still quite young in her career. She's been doing it a few years, but it's just brilliant to sort of see, like, so much. And this is why I think drum and bass kind of stands the test of time, because you've got all these youngsters coming into it and helping feed it, do you know what I mean? And I think that's healthy.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking up to get the exact one. On Instagram, check out EQ50DMB, which is a collective working towards, like, a fairer representation in drum and bass. And I follow them. I think it's great, from ethnicity to gender to age. You know, they're working with all different types of groups to kind of balance out and support and give a platform to, you know, people that wouldn't have got a look in before. So, you know, it's nice to see that there are these platforms and support groups and people like yourself that are giving a platform for that next generation, that next step up, because if you don't do that, it just stops, right?
Just to be clear, I don't work with EQ50, so I don't want to be you've just mentioned that off of, like, from what I'm saying, so I don't want to be making any claims. I only found out about EQ50 myself about a month ago. So I've only recently been aware of what they do. Do you know what I mean? But as I say, that's why I kind of wanted to see if there's any of new producers making old music, because, you know, we've got some albums coming out, like Rave Hit. We're going to do a Rave Hit album. So I'm looking for literally rave music. It doesn't matter. You didn't have to be even making it back then. If you're making it now, I'm looking for it. If it's good, it will basically get the Jay Cunning test, the Aqua Sky test, the Jack Smooth test. I'll run it through everybody. What do you reckon of this? And then, you know, if it's good, then, you know what I mean? There's a potential to get on this album project. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nice, mate. Well, look, there's some amazing stuff that you keep kind of pushing forward. And I've got to say, mate, like, thank you very much again for spending this time. Between part one and part two, we've put the world to rights, and we've educated the people. And like I said at the beginning, like, in all honesty, I started doing these, and I still do them a little bit for selfish reasons, because I never had access to this information. I didn't know the DJ. I was just a raver. I bought a ticket, went to a rave, danced my ass off for the night, came home, done. Bought a tape pack a few weeks later, and that's all the information you had.
That's what we were as well, you know what I mean? That's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to sell tickets and get involved, like, because I just like to be the first to know, you know what I mean? So I'd be like, people be calling me going, where is it? And that comes even from the football days when I used to like go Chelsea when I was young and running with the firm and all that. And it's another subject, but I knew the older, so I always like kind of knew what was going on, and it was lovely to be, yeah, the meets at the road, you know what I mean? And you're just always in the know. So when I got into the industry, I kind of wanted to be in the know, and that was like, that was a beautiful thing, you know what I mean? To just be able to be able to give people that information, do you know what I mean? And as I say, I'm all for trying to help people realize, look, how many people have dreams to be able to like put a record out? And funny enough, talking about records, when Mackie and I made a record with DJ Fresh, Fresh was like, yeah, I'm going to press some vinyl. I was like, all right, cool, yeah, wicked. And like, I didn't realize Mackie was absolutely buzzing. And I was like, when we got sent the vinyl, he was like, oh my God, this is sick. And I was just like, oh, okay. And he's like, this is my first ever vinyl release. I was like, oh, fuck off, are you for real? I couldn't believe it. You know, in my head, he'd had like hundreds of releases. Do you know what I mean? Just, I didn't even put two and two together. And so it was a special moment for him to be holding that piece of vinyl. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, that's mental, man. Like, I just took it for granted that we were able to do that back in the day. And the one good thing I do say about vinyl is it definitely sorted the not so good tunes out from the better tunes, because if no one really wanted to spend £2,000-£3,000 back, that was a lot of money back then. Do you know what I mean? Put a vinyl release out if it weren't ready. You know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing, like, you know, you had to be stricter with the A&R process. You know, you got a lot less to lose with the digital process, because it's, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 quid to get it mastered, a little bit of artwork, your mate does, bang, there you go, it's up on, you know, wherever. But like you say, it was hundreds and thousands to invest in, to pressing it up, getting TPs, then getting it sent out. It was a real big investment. So you had to make sure that it was the one, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that's why I think, you know, it's like, yeah, it's, as I say, I just took it for granted. But when Mackie said that, it was just like, wow, it actually made me realize that what a special time we had back then, that we could actually do that. And he was like, you know, it was lovely to be able to see that. But as I say, you know, anyone who's making music, like I always say this, yeah, just keep making music, innit? Like, and as long as you're happy with it, don't worry about what I think, what Jay Cunning thinks, what Ron Wells thinks, or what Aqua Sky thinks. As long as you're happy with it, that's the most important thing. If we like it as well, that's a bloody bonus. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's what, you know, I've gone back to that way of thinking. Like, you know, I'm hoping that when we make all this music, you lot fucking love it. You know what I mean? And go, oh my God, this is sick. You know, and we're going to do our best to make sure you are like that. But if you don't, as long as I'm like cool with it and Ron's cool with it, Gemini's cool with it, whoever we're making it with, as long as we're happy with it. You know, one thing me and Ron spoke about, we made a record called Electro Step. We're 100% going to remix that. 100% that's going to get remixed. And we've already spoken about some other bits, but I'm not going to give away too much of what we're going to do. But it's definitely a project that everybody needs to get onto. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, look, mate, there's still some super exciting stuff that's coming forward, not just from the kind of trauma based scene, but also from the stuff that you're going to be repressing. We'll keep an eye on the Bandcamp for the digital stuff that's coming out as well. And I've got to say, big respect, mate, like for 30 years in the 31. Industry. 31.
Huh?
31.
31 as fantasy. But don't forget, don't forget Steve, yeah, he'll get upset.
DJ Steve's. I keep thinking of people just sure. doing nothing, like Steve's.
I ain't all right, don't I? Do you know what my secret is?
Done.
Keep eating, because you know what? Fat don't crack. And on that note,
wicked, mate. Listen, you take care of yourself. Thank you very much for the time, mate. Much appreciate. And as and when the stuff goes in, mate, we'll be blasting it and sharing it everywhere.
You know what? Big love to everybody who sent messages. And I'm sorry if we missed your name and your shout outs. Your big love to you lot. Because remember, without you lot, this whole thing don't happen. And I say this all the time, without the people, this don't happen. Do you know what I mean? So big love to all of the community. And yeah, man, we got some exciting things to be playing you and bringing you real soon.
Yeah, nice, mate. All right. Listen, mate, big up yourself. Next week, I've got Rat Pack on Thursday night. More details to come.
Lock in.
Nice one, mate. You take it easy. We'll catch you soon, all right?
Cheers.